Hello and welcome to the commentary for lesson 294. This is chapter Proverbs 15, chapter 15. So this was a good one. A few favorites of mine. Verse 3 says, "The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good." That can make a person nervous, right? You know, sometimes we think that God is the eye in the sky and he's watching everything we do and just waiting for us to screw up. It's not like he's, you know, sitting up in heaven looking down at us and keeping a logbook, right? I mean, do you imagine him with a clipboard and going, "Oh, there she is. She just cut in line. That's a tally on the evil side." And, you know, maybe he has like your name on top and like one side of the paper is good things you do and the other side of the paper is the bad things you do, and he's keeping a tally. That's not, I don't think that's how it works. I really don't. I think that it just, this is saying that he watches everywhere. He sees all our secret sins. There's nothing we can get away with and not be accountable for. It's going to be on our slideshow, I say. Whenever I screw up or I see someone that does something like really horrible, I'll say, that's going to be on his slideshow, you know, and it just means that, you know, we all go to meet our maker one day. And I believe that we will have to answer. Scripture says, I know I've read it, can't think of where, but scripture says that we will all be accountable for the things that we've done during our time on earth. And so I just imagine, and it's just a funny, you know, thought that God could give you or maybe an angel, I don't know, gives you a slideshow and just kind of says, so, what were you thinking here? You know, so something that you'll have to answer to. And so I think that's what that means. But it also is encouraging because when we are struggling, we should know that he knows. When we are crying and we're hiding in fear, he knows. He's there. He doesn't care about the little things. He doesn't care if we have bad habits and chew our fingernails. He doesn't care about those things. He genuinely wants to reach out to us. He wants us to reach out to him. He wants to be in relationship, right? Just like an earthly father whose son goes off to college, do you think he wants him to never come back? No, he hopes that he will come back. Maybe they'll go fishing together. Maybe they'll go golfing once a week or something just to stay in touch. But, you know, or maybe if the son even just calls once in a while. You know, fathers want to stay in touch with their children. And God is no different. He loves us that much. So he keeps his eye on both the evil and the good. He is watching everywhere. That shouldn't make us feel worried or like paranoid. It should give us comfort, right? He's also watching our back. If we're in trouble, he can warn us. He can protect us. Don't get me started. Okay, so let's see some others that I really loved. Verse 10. Whoever abandons the right path will be severely disciplined. Whoever hates correction will die. That's a scary thought. Talk about fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes. So whoever, I mean, if you know the right path, that's kind of like about this study, right? I've committed to this. I know that God gave me this to do, and I know that I know that I know that. So for me to go in the middle of Proverbs, you know, I'm just not feeling this anymore. I think I'm going to quit. No, because of this scripture and things like this, because I know God gave me this to do and I've taken this on, I have to see it through even on days that I don't feel like it. I'm not real good about doing it every single day. I like to think he knows what I'm up against, but it is something I'm committed to and I will see through. Whoever abandons the right path will be severely disciplined. Whoever hates correction will die. That's a warning to us. Okay. Verse 12. Mockers hate to be corrected, so they stay away from the wise. If you are growing in wisdom and you've offered advice to people, wise advice, they don't always like it, right? They are not, and we have to remember that not everyone is in the same place as us. And so they don't see things like we see it, right? Abraham, I remember this back in early Old Testament, it was either Abraham or Moses said something like that, like someone else, they said, okay, they explained something in a way because they knew that who they were talking to didn't have the faith. And so they said, okay, well, here's how you'll know, blah, 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 blah. But I'm telling you, God told me this. This is the truth. But since I know that your faith is not quite like mine, maybe you didn't hear God yourself. I heard him. So maybe you need more reassurance. I wish I could remember who that was. But anyways, we have to remember that basically not everybody is at the same place as us. So to expect them to recognize right from wrong, generally most people have a sense about that, right? But some people don't. Some people have to hit the wall and find out the hard way. And you can give all the advice you want until you're blue in the face, but they're not going to pay a bit of attention to you because they don't want to. And they won't want to be near you anymore. I think that we have to learn after a while, I've had to learn not to take that personally, right? When other people, I will go through phases with friends where they'll really want to have a relationship with me and they'll be really good friends with me. And then they'll go through something where they don't really like talking about God or they don't really like talk. You know, I talk about God a lot. I talk about the Bible a lot because that's what I get excited about. That's what I live for. And so if someone is going through maybe a period where they're in denial about it or they're upset at God, they don't want to talk about that anymore. They don't even want to hear about it anymore. And so, they will kind of stop talking to me and I have to just kind of let that go, right? You might experience that. Perhaps you've already experienced that. You certainly don't get invited to parties. But that's okay. I really don't mind that. Verse 13, a glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit. You can tell by looking in someone's face if they're happy, if they're truly happy, right? Not just happy because they got the best steak for lunch or not just happy because, you know, they're wearing their favorite shoes or whatever. It's happy from the inside. It radiates and you can tell. It's written all over their face. You can't hide that. Have you ever talked to someone, a stranger? I remember on several occasions, I'm just a very friendly person typically, so I'll be in the grocery store and I don't mind talking to strangers and I'll just start up conversations like I know people. That's just how I roll. But I distinctly recognize when I start talking to somebody and I see in their face that they are not, that there's something not there. They're either hurt or they're dark or they're just, I don't know, steely-eyed kind of persona. And so I just immediately get, okay, that person, I'm not. Right, there's a wall there. Okay, I get it. No offense. I just know better. Okay, verse 14, a wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. This, you know, we have to be careful what we let in, right? We're like dry sponges and everything that comes at us from our phones, from our computers, from the people around us, we soak it all up. Even if we think we don't, it all becomes a part of us. And it would be interesting to, I believe that if we looked at someone's Yahoo search engine, that you'd get a pretty good idea of what that person was into, what they were about, and where their values were, right? And I think that because when you are looking on the internet for something and your searches, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like it, all these algorithms, right? They all figure out what you like, and then they start putting that before you. So in when I go onto a Yahoo news page, it's only going to have up front, you know, top and center. I'm not going to have a lot of stories about makeup or about, you know, the Kardashians or whatever, because I don't care about that stuff. So, yes, I wear makeup, by the way, but I would have things more related to health or nutrition or cancer or things that, or parenting or things that I'm into, right? That's what would pop up. So I feel like people just become an exaggerated version of their self because all they see coming at them from the computer is what they're into. And some people maybe that don't recognize that start to think that everybody thinks like them. And it's just self perpetuating, and I just don't think it's healthy. It can't possibly be good long term. Anyways, moving on. Verse 16 and 17, I love those. Better to have little with the fear of the Lord than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. I don't need to explain that. That's self-explanatory. I just really liked it. 17 was funny. A bowl of vegetables with someone you love is better than steak with someone you hate. Now, I love a good steak, but yep, that's true. I'd rather have vegetables with someone I love. Okay, verse 23, everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. It really is. My husband has that gift. It's witty. He is witty. I always wish that I was better about that. I often just kind of, you know, somebody will say something to me and I'll get so irritated. I remember this when I was at work in Tigard, Oregon, and one of the sales engineers came around and I was looking at architectural drawings on the floor. And so I was just kind of like spreading them out and I was kind of just on my hands and knees looking at them, studying them. And he said, "Oh, Jamie, it's nice to see you on your knees." And he was just this annoying guy that made that annoying comment, and I was so irritated, and I could not think of the right reply. I came home, I was irritated all day. I got home, I told my husband, and he told me, "Oh, you should have said, yeah, you probably never see that, do you, John?" And I just thought, oh man, I should have said that. I just don't come up with those things right away, right? So I wish that I was witty. I wish that I could come back with a quick reply and that it was like the right thing at the right time. Not all of us have that. Sometimes my brain will be working really well and I can do it, but it's a rare thing and I get excited when it happens. Okay, verse 25. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he protects the property of widows. That's a good one. The Lord tears down the house of the proud. I think if you think about examples of people whose stories, you know that happens, that they build up everything and everything falls down. The house of the proud. Yeah, that happens. Verse 27, greed brings grief. Greed, that's hard to say. Greed brings grief to the whole family, but those who hate bribes will live. Yes, greed doesn't just affect the person who has it does affect the whole family. Think about it. Okay, verse 28. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. Yes, I could use a little more careful thinking before speaking. I am one that kind of figures things out as I talk. I know that I have a lot of friends that are the same way, and we just get to talking and we figure stuff out while we're talking. I think that's okay if you know that someone's like that and that's someone you can trust, right? You're working it out. Some people think very carefully before they speak. I admire those people. It makes me wonder more often what they're thinking because I know they're so careful. But sometimes when you think too carefully for too long, we call it, what's it called? Oh yeah, I had to stop and think about it because it was going to bug me, but it's called analysis paralysis, right? You overthink everything so much that you never speak and then the opportunity passes you by. And so you just sort of never really get going. Analysis paralysis. Okay. But we should carefully consider our words before we say it. Somewhere in between, right? We have to have a healthy balance. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Don't need to explain that one. I just liked it. Verse 30, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart. It really does, doesn't it? Have you ever just saw a stranger and they smile at you and it just sort of makes your day? We were following, I had my son, my oldest son is driving. So he was sitting in the driver's seat and he was driving himself home from school. I was in the passenger seat because he just has his permit. And his younger brother was sitting in the back. And so I guess the car in front of us, a young man turned around and was staring into our car. And my son Sam in the back seat just laughed and waved at him like, "Hi, I see you staring at us." And the guy in front of us just popped out of his car. We were at a stoplight. He popped out of his car and he looked like he was maybe a junior in high school or something. He popped out of his car, turned around at us and like waved and smiled and then got back in the car. And then, you know, and then they took off. And then when he turned the corner, we were just laughing. When he turned the corner, he waved goodbye at us. It was just funny. There was no, you know, we didn't know each other. It was just a funny moment it was just a funny interaction. Have you ever had that happen? Or someone just, a friend of mine told me a story one time about how an older lady came onto a bus one time and she was with her husband. And her husband was obviously, she was a caretaker for him. And he was maybe had Alzheimer's or something. He wasn't quite with it. And the friend of mine, her name is Renee. I love her dearly. If you ever hear this, Renee, I love you. But anyway, she said that, you know, she had experienced that, Renee had. And so her and that woman shared a look like, you know, Renee kind of gave her a look like, "I feel ya," and just gave her a gentle smile. And the woman said, "You know this?" And Renee said, "Yes." And they just embraced and had the longest conversation and just really, that's a beautiful thing, right? They were just really there for each other, supporting each other, saying, "Hey, I've been there. That's tough. God bless you." And they prayed together. I mean, that's a God thing, right? That's a beautiful thing. So sometimes a total stranger can cheer you up. Verse 31, if you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. Yes, we have to be able to take constructive criticism and not get defensive, but honestly search your heart, search your motives. Verse 32, if you reject discipline, you only harm yourself, but if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. Absolutely. So anyway, that's, you know, lots of good stuff in that one, but that's really it for today. I hope you all have a great day. And I hope you're all praying for the people in Texas because, of course, they're getting really flooded and bombarded and trying to deal with the basics right now. So prayers going out to them. Hope you all have a great day. I will talk to you soon.